Whether you've been practicing for a week or whether you've been practicing for many years, if you're like me, Zen can make your head hurt.
It's time for us, members of the Sangha, to get together and just talk about life and the Dharma. Welcome to Voices of the Sangha. This is Juan Rim.
And this is Dae Ji. Join us each show as members of Dharma Gate Zen talk about living life with the Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Path.
So I've shared with a few people what I consider a personal breakthrough as a student. And I like to stress to everyone that I'm not sitting here saying, oh, I looked up and saw the morning star. That is not it at all. It's more of a personal frame of reference as I move forward to eventually become a teacher, as a student, to be able to understand what we're taught. And it's worked really well. And it came from a reading that I was just reading a book, and it took me down a rabbit hole to really just kind of work through all this stuff. And the question really has nothing to do with my conclusions. The question that I read was, take a moment, and I want you to put your arms around the present. You can't, because time's always moving. You can't stop the present. You can't. That wasn't where I went with it. I took it from there and went through a lot of things through my mind, as many people have, and it was about 3 hours in the evening of not going to sleep. And this is where I ended up. And hopefully it'll just seem like, yeah, of course, to you. That makes perfect sense. Or this is what we talk about. But when we go into meditation, we talk about the silence or the empty, or especially in Zen, there is no real word for that moment that we're kind of, and it's hard to get to that moment. So I just use the word the pure moment. Okay. So the goal to start from the pure moment as reference, and pure and balanced moment. Pure moment is when you're that awake, mindful, but silent and empty time, where maybe sometimes we get it for a second, sometimes you can make it go for 10 minutes. I mean, it just depends where you are in your practice. And I say balance because the balanced is when we're off the mat. That's the balanced life, balanced moment. And our goal in all this is to live our life to make it as easy as possible to get back to that pure moment. So what do you do? I mean, when you get off the mat, we have the Four Noble Truths. There is dukkha. You're probably the cause. There is a cure, and it's the Eightfold Path. And which is saying, in many religions, say that there are good things to do out into the world. So those are those steps, recognizing what's in front of you when you get off the mat. And then you have some suggestions of what to do out when you're out in the world. So it's a lot easier to get back here to that pure moment. And so someone who becomes a teacher, their job is to help guide them back to the pure moments and balanced moments in life. And that's the crux of it. It really is just simply understanding pure moment and balanced moment, pure moment on the mat, balanced moment into the world, and what you do from there. That's it. But it's given me a frame of reference of how to apply that. If someone asks a question or talks to me, it's like, well, how do I get them back to the pure moment? Does that make sense? Or am I just, is it just all in my head?
No, I think it makes sense. So you're kind of saying your job as a teacher is to guide other people on the path to get to that point where they're at
right.
That pure moment.
And as a student,
where they can achieve it.
Yeah, and as a student, to just look at your readings, it doesn't mean I know everything. It means I have a lot of sutras to read. I have a lot of just chance to learn and concepts beyond that, But it gives me this frame of reference to build off of and to maybe compare. It's like it maybe if there's a sutra out there that maybe give an evil eye to because it goes a little off the rails, at least in my approach. I don't know. So that's where I am. I guess the real question is, because now from this point I've shared my what's your point of reference? For me, pure moment, then balance moment. It's out into the world. How do you approach when you read something, whether you think it's helpful or how you go out into the world?
For me, the pure moments have happened even when I haven't been practicing that long. It happened more mm-hmm. when I was just exploring
mm-hmm.
Because I didn't have any preconceived notions, and so they just happened.
Sure.
You know, because when I'm looking for it, like when is it coming, it doesn't come.
Right.
When I'm unlooking, then
right.
it happens. So, and there have been beautiful moments,
mm-hmm.
right? They are just like really powerful moments. I love how you talked about the pure moment and the balance, because really that's why I practice, and I'm sure many of you do, is to have balance in my life, to
mm-hmm.
have clarity, which is really important to me, and balance is really important to me, and to have some meaning. So all that boils down to balance, really. So I love that word.
In the way I'm looking at it is in the world. When you're out in the world, you have to have you can have pure moments along the way as you're walking and or as you're part of the world. It can happen. It's harder.
Mm-hmm.
So being out in the world, because we have to live in it, we have to go to a job, we have to, you know, drive our car down the highway, we have to eat. So from there we need balance moments the best we can. But then, you know, what are those balance moments? What are the things that we do? Well, the answer is the things that'll get us back to the pure moment as easy as possible. In other words, the decisions you make. If you make a good decision, it'll be easier because there'll be less in your head that you have to work through. That's where that I'm coming from with that, is that what you do out in the world, if you're out there doing things that is causing conflict within other people or yourself, it's a lot harder to sit back on this cushion and get back into that pure moment. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And that's the point of reference that I'm working with. And in other words, it makes not life easy, but easier if you take that point of reference. And, you know, in all sincerity, you know, many religions around the world have a very similar point. I think it's a little more complex in those situations, but I was just thinking that through the other day. It's just as a thought that, you know, how do others approach that? Because I'm sure there's certainly some value like that in other religions, especially when they lay out, kind of like we have the Eightfold Path, you know, here's some rules that'll help you through life.
I think we've talked before that our meditation practice gives us, by being mindful, that pause before
mm-hmm.
you engage.
Yes.
And I think that's kind of where you're going to is, you know, you're not saying it that maybe that simply,
mm-hmm.
but that, you know, that pure moment, that's kind of the pause
mm-hmm.
that you take before you engage with someone.
Certainly can apply, absolutely.
You know, under not great circumstances, because you have that, you know what that pure moment feels like.
Mm-hmm.
You have that background, so you can go ahead and say, you know, take a breath before you blow your horn at the guy in front of you because he's not moving fast enough, or, you know, engage with a coworker because they're not doing what you think they should be doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think for all of us, we have to test these ideas, you know, and then see what works best for us. And that's a good point, you know, of being able to pause and take those ideas of...
But I like the pure moment, phrase.
It works for me, although even in the Heart Sutra, neither pure or impure. But
right.
The point being is that there is no word.
Right.
So you can
right.
call it that empty moment, the moments between the thoughts, because it's an awakened moment. You're aware, you know, and there's so much to it, but really no words can can describe it.
Going back to wisdom, which is emptiness, which is, so that's your wisdom moment. You know,
could be a wisdom moment.
You're actually using what you've gained, what you've learned, and applying it to that.
Yeah, I'm just testing it. That's why I bring it out to all of you. I mean, I am in no way trying to say I have the thing. I'm just trying to test my learning, you know, my moments of, interesting. Here's a way to put it,
right,
you know,
right.
And that's why I kind of bring this up, just because I really, your insight, because all of you practice, and some of you practice longer than I. So, I mean, it's to see where you are and your thoughts on that. And I challenge these thoughts all the time, and I spent a long time challenging it and applying it to many of the sutras, especially Diamond and Heart, and which is certainly core of Zen. Those two sutras. And
isn't that kind of, I always thought, and one of the things I like about Buddhism is you are encouraged to challenge and discuss and throw ideas out there. That's kind of the whole basis of the, you know, the spiritual part is, you know, you all discuss it. And I think discussing things with other people and seeing their viewpoints, I think, leads to a deeper and richer understanding of whatever it is. And I think we gain from this discussion, we gain from your teaching, you know, and we can put that into practice for ourselves.
I mean, officially, I have no role as a teacher at this point. I'm totally a student. I'm just kind of throwing my student stuff out there. That's, you know.
I think we're going to learn along with you.
Thank you. I hope so. That's the idea, and I most certainly learned from you guys. That's again why I share with you, because I mean, this is how we all have to learn together. I mean,
I used to tell my students when I was teaching, I learned as much from you as you learned from me, maybe more.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Just because they come at things from a different point, different life experiences.
Does anybody else have a your experience and the way your frame of reference, how you approach maybe when you hear a sutra or somebody teaching or a moment in life? Do you have a point of reference that you work off of?
Well, with me, it's more behavioral than it is intellectual. There was a time in my life when I wanted to know the sutras and the words and the thoughts, but now I'm more concerned about the behavior, you know, how I act and how other people act. And practice for me is teaching me how to act, not how to think. So
the balance moments.
Yeah, if I'm behaving in a way in my practice, you know, sitting silently, breathing deeply, being satisfied with silence, then if I'm lucky, I carry that when I'm not here out into the real world and maybe behave the same way. You know, calmly, quietly, without judgment. And I think that improves the quality of your life. Because, as other people have said, it's very easy to engage with other people in a way that's not leading you toward a positive thing. You know, to get hung up on arguments or disagreements or just being disappointed by their behavior or maybe your own behavior. And if you return to what you've learned in your practice, you know, to have calmness and quietness and just embrace the emptiness of the moment. I mean, if you go to a party and watch how many people are talking, and try to find somebody who's listening. There really isn't anybody. They're all trying to make their point. And that's difficult if you're someone who's trying to follow this practice, because most of the learning happens when you're quiet.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that's the challenge of practice now, is to just become comfortable with the silence,
mm-hmm.
and the breathing and the emptiness of it, not expecting there to be anything hidden or contained or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It's just relaxing into that.
I think one of the things that came to my mind most certainly was the more pure and balanced moments you have, the better your life will be. There are no guarantees. You could have a pure moment every day and life could be, on the outside world, horrible. I mean, there's a lot that approaches it. It's, none of this is a guarantee for anything. However, the more you practice that, it's kind of like rolling the dice. It's, you know, the odds are better, kind of like karma. More good karma you put out there, chances are, not guaranteed, but chances are more will come back in some way. And so if you look at all those things, you know, lowering the ego, you lower the ego, it'll be easier to get back to sit on the mat, less arising, so you can have more of those pure moments. I keep looking at every single thing like that, and you know, I'm probably just going off on a rant again in some way, because I'm still working this through. I'm still learning. I that's why I keep asking. I've been just slowly asking more and more people. I talked with DG the other day, and I've talked with Guan Xian about it, and then bringing it to you folks here for the podcast, because I believe you guys have some very good wisdom to share. So thank you. Yes?
I was just going to say that I like the conceptualization of balance and pure moments sort of being feeding off each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen that in my own life, mm-hmm. in my own practice, but I never had put it into words like that. So when you have pure moments that help sort of stabilize you inside,
mm-hmm.
you react to situations outside in a more balanced way. And the more calm your life becomes, not calm, but, you know, manageable,
more balanced.
Or balanced, manageable, then you're able to enjoy the pure moments.
Yes.
And so it just kind of keeps
yes.
feeding off each other. And
yes.
I really do like that. I mean, it's happened to me. I've just never conceptualized
sure.
it that way.
Sure. Yeah. And that's why I don't come here and say, look, I've got the answer for all of you.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you.
More pure moments.
It's just more of a, it's just a more a frame of a reference
yes.
that
mm-hmm.
we all know.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, just, okay, this is working so far.
Yeah.
So far, you know. Sunam could say something in a day. I'm like, oh, okay, that I'm off, you know. And that's fine. You know, I'm here to learn too. And I've mostly learned. I mean, I've made a commitment to learn, and that's why I'm here.
And you always have to recalibrate it, because there are times when the balance in your life will just not go anywhere
mm-hmm.
because of extenuating circumstances. So it'll be chaotic. Then you try and sit and your pure moments are not there. They're
yes.
all over the place.
We've all been
so,
there.
So then you just keep working at it until you reset all the
right.
buttons, you know. Kind of. So I do like that very much, that idea.
Right.
Because then you don't give up. You think, okay, there's no balance in my life right now, but I keep doing it, and then it will reset.
Great. Thank you so much. I appreciate your input, all of you.
If you're interested, please be sure and subscribe to our podcast so that you don't miss future episodes. And for more information, be sure and visit us at dharmagatezen.org.